Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 14th February, recording at 6:36 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first a quick highlights here for yet another exciting day. Stock markets really quite firm. We've got Japan pushing ahead in Asia. Steady performance by the Shanghai A shares, although not the Hang Seng or the H shares, which remain in consolidation phases. Europe's a good story in here. Firm. Best gain that I see is Sweden. That's up 1.86. That's quite a bit bigger than the others, but solid gains across the boards. And in the U.S., we've got the NASDAQ that had been underperforming recently, up 1.25%, though, as I speak, and the Dow's up 80. So that's good action. And government bonds are steadier in here today. This is interesting. More on that in a moment. And the U.S. dollar has taken a hit in here. Well, I'll go back to those bonds. One of the reasons why the bonds are steadier is both Mervyn King of the Bank of England and Ben Bernanke came out with fairly relaxed, fairly sanguine reports regarding inflation, which they expect to go down. And then, of course, there's the old bit about it could rise later on. The bias be the upside later on, and it most likely will. But they're looking for lower inflation as the lower gas and oil prices, electricity prices, feed through to the economies. And I think they'll be right in that respect. But there's plenty of inflation elsewhere, as you know, if you pay your household bills. But going on to the highlights here. That weakened the dollar, and for instance, euro is back up to 131.25. The dollar index is down to 84.22. Now, precious metals were having an extremely good day until oil threw a little cold water on that burn up. And oil is currently down $1.02 at 58.04. It has been 50 cents lower. And so it's just ranging here, I think consolidating. But the precious metals are all up today, although well off their highs. Gold, for instance, as I speak, bullion is at 667.85. That's up 360. But it's $4 off the high that we had seen earlier in the day. Platinum, one of the more steady ones. But these are moving around quite actively here. Silver is getting 20-point swings, which is a little disconcerting if you hold it. Now, the decline in oil did spill over and has led to some profit taking also in the grain and bean section, which had been quite steady in recent days. Okay, so where are we? What's going on here overall? Well, stock markets are getting more to the upside than they are sideways in terms of ranging and very small reactions. Now, that is nice in the short term if you're long, and it's quite exciting, and it means further gains in here for most markets. But of course, it's not really improving the situation regarding runs on the upside that are too strong relative to the long-term moving averages. And you can most easily see those by going into the weekly candlestick charts section for whatever index, stock market index, that you're interested in looking at, and then clicking on that, clicking apply to allow what will be listed as a 200-day moving average. But as you're in a weekly chart, that will be showing that will actually be a 40-week moving average, which is that long-term trend smoothing device, and you'll notice that these indices have pulled well above, pushed well above those moving averages. And you'll also notice that in the past, when it does that, they revert back. It's inevitable. So it's just a matter of question of when and to what degree. In other words, do they go sideways and eventually meet a rising moving average, or do they fall back sharply, or to reach it and go a little below it, or do they do both, or some reaction and some sideways? So the risk that's developing in here is that reversion to the mean in terms of the long-term moving averages. I think that's a much more realistic possibility than any kind of big reversion to the mean in terms of corporate profits. Corporate profits, I think, are going to be bubbling along nicely because the global economy is bubbling along nicely, and that's what it's all about. So there we are. Right now, stock markets are fine, but I'm getting overextended, and that may actually be more important than the three potential headwinds that I'd been talking about, which would be a too rapid slide in the dollar. I'm doing them in reverse order here now. A spike in the oil price, quite likely that is, not a spike necessarily, but just a steady push up above 60 and on its way towards 70. I expect that this year. Rapidly rising long-dated government bond yields. And the fact that both Mervyn King and Ben Bernanke came out with fairly optimistic comments on inflation rates over the next few months has certainly helped stock markets in here, and it has also firmed the government bond markets. Now, while I have said that I wouldn't be at all surprised to see a medium-term correction this year at some point, and frankly, the more overextended markets get in the short term, the less significant a particular catalyst becomes. But unless there's some sort of exogenous shock to the financial system, and I'm not in the business of forecasting that, that's very much a wild card, and fortunately those don't crop up too often. But I do not see a replay of what actually happened in May and June. And that's because, as you remember, in the run-up to May and June, central banks were becoming quite aggressive in their anti-inflation comments, and that did spook the markets. Now, we've got, as I say, King and Bernanke really talking about a quite benign inflationary environment, and the ECB isn't going to be able to beat a Trichet is not going to be beating a big drum over inflation either. So we're not going to have that type of aggressive rhetoric that spooked investors, as I say, in May and June last year. Instead, we might get a more gradual and somewhat longer correction, longer in time, probably shallower than we saw last year, just due to fatigue. Now, of course, if we get oil back up to $70 and so on, that's probably in the second half of the year rather than the first half of the year, but that might make Bernanke and King regret their optimistic forecasts regarding inflation a few months from now. I know they would be loath to, or I assume they would be loath to go from today's rather reassuring comments into hawkish mode at a time when they were expecting benign inflationary figures. So again, I just don't expect that kind of shock for the markets that we had previously. But we can assume that U.S. interest rates aren't going to come down. There's no reason why they should come down on the evidence at hand. And we should assume that the UK rates can go up a little bit further and that the ECB rates can go up a little bit further. Okay. But as far as stock markets are concerned, still okay, but developing overextended positions, every great uptrend waltzes into a cul-de-sac. But not just yet. Now, looking at the government bonds, I said I'd come back to them, and I've pretty well covered it. The reassuring comments on inflation that we've seen have steadied the market, but there probably isn't much upside because the bond investors know that those inflationary pressures are certainly in the pipeline and that oil is already rising once again, following the move on the downside, which will shortly be reflected in the official data, which of course lags. So I don't expect a whole lot on the upside until or unless stock markets really take fright. That'll happen at some stage, and that'll lead to a flight into the bonds, as we've seen every time in the past. But that's not something that's imminent, as I've said at least once already. Now, this dollar does look interesting, and it has been one of those testing situations here in terms of short-term forecasting. First, it's been range-bound, and I maintain that that's mostly what you're going to get in the currency markets, ranging. But the dollar, having had that reasonably good rally in November and December, has, and just going into January, has been range bound following that rally in what has looked to me like toppy action. But you see, one day you say, dollar's quite soft in here, and then it'll be go down for a day or two, and then rebound for a day or two and extend the range. Well, today's weakness following yesterday's looks a little bit more convincing, and I do feel that we are going to see a somewhat weaker, albeit ranging weaker, dollar in here. And that should be favorable for these metal markets, which of course are beginning to reflect the stronger global economy. People have been obsessed with this theme of U.S. Slowdown and possibly even recession due to the housing price correction. And then they've been obsessed with that spilling over into China and India and so on, which are raising interest rates anyway and leading to a big global slowdown. Well, I think they've, as I've said all along, I think they have exaggerated the risks to the U.S. economy, and I think they've exaggerated the risks to the global economy. And a lot of the people who were doing that were shorting these metals, and they've been getting squeezed recently. And I think that the demand for metals is picking up again. A lot of people, buyers, were holding off and saying, "Well, markets are going to weaken, aren't they? Everybody keeps telling us they're going to weaken," and that type of thinking. And then the hedge funds who had a good win in terms of paper profits in copper were leveraging up elsewhere, but getting squeezed. Tin new high today. Nickel, I don't think it quite hit a new high, but it's certainly very close to a new high. These are all really quite firm. Precious metals, quite firm in here. Now, those can be expected to benefit from the from a softer dollar and also the stronger overall economy. So that looks quite good to me still. And there's both industrial and the precious metals. So far, I'm only playing it in the precious metals, where my big positions, and they're fairly equivalent in terms of size, silver, platinum, and gold. I also have the palladium, but that's been underperforming, so I haven't been tempted to increase it until it starts to show better relative performance. Grains and beans, I remain hopeful, but as I've said before, this is a hopeful in terms of someone with long positions, but this is a seasonally dull period in here. Now, I'm going to jump, so they may mess about, but before getting what I think will be another reasonably decent move on the upside. Last but not least, I want to go back to the stock markets here and say Japan, that's the one I really do favor in here. Now, I've written about this. I think India have done so well, China has done so well, both countries are raising interest rates, both countries are concerned about the strength of their currency. Well, here's Japan, which doesn't exactly have a strong currency, does it? Doesn't exactly have a rising interest rate problem creating a headwind for the stock market, has had a long consolidation here, in partly due to its sort of moderate growth relative to other parts of Asia, and also just sheer momentum. The other markets are doing so well that people who normally invest in Japan weren't. I think that's changing, and I've written about that today in Comment of the Day. It's not the first time I've said that, of course. Japan is one of my top picks in terms of performance for this year. And I think that's about it. I'm going off to take Mrs. Fuller out to a very special Valentine's Day dinner. I hope you're doing the same with your spouse or partner. But whatever you're doing, enjoy and all the best.